Infamous Indy presents The Digging Up Dillinger Project, featuring the Texas Crime Travelers and Travis Thompson. I'm your host, Joe Malillo. In the annals of American crime, few figures loom as large as John Dillinger. A mastermind of bank heists, his name became synonymous with brazen robberies and daring escapes. Questions of whether he escaped an FBI ambush and the whereabouts of his buried loot persevere. History offers one account, but there are whispers that tell us many more. Join us as we go digging up Dillinger. What's up, everybody?
Hey.
Hey.
Welcome.
Digging Up Dillinger podcast. We're back. Another episode. And I can't even tell everybody how amazing y'all are. We got a huge following in a short amount of time. Yeah. And we're really, really excited to have you here. So with that, we got Todd Hiles, Stuart Fillmore, Travis Thompson. It is the New Age Dillinger Gang coming at you in your ears.
I love it.
Ready to go for more of this historical updating. What did we call it? We say it's a developing history podcast.
Yes.
Couple of housekeeping items. We just finished, if you know, you listened from last episode and you're jumping right into the next one. We just finished the Fillmore Report, and we've had a bunch of people reach out to us and ask for the Fillmore Report. If you would like to connect and see it for yourself, we'd be happy to send it to you. All you have to do is go to our Linktree, which is linktree.com/ digging up Dillinger. And you can go down and stay in contact, and you can fill out a form on the website. You just give us your email, and I'll be watching that, and I'll make sure to send it to you. Or you can send us a direct email at diggingupdillinger@gmail.com. So, and TikTok, follow us on TikTok. We're on Instagram now. People requested that I go on Instagram, so we're here. We're on Instagram. And then Apple and Spotify. So we're doing great, guys. How's everybody else over in that land doing over there?
Yeah, we are rocking. I love it.
Doing great. Good. Thank you all for listening.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you.
Hey, and also I do want to say thank you to all three of you. I really care about you guys, like as brothers, right? Like I feel very close and compassionate for y'all, especially because you give your life, or you're giving your life to service. You guys have Todd, obviously retired Secret Service agent, Stuart, retired FBI agent, and Travis, you're currently a police officer yourself, or a law enforcement officer. So this week we had Trump was shot at and grazed. And Todd, you kind of talked about it on your TikTok, but I just wanted to take some time and actually say thanks for your service. And like, it makes you think, you know, guys like you, I'd love to have my back. So
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, very much so.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Well said, Joe.
Yeah, no problem. You guys deserve it. And other people like you also deserve the recognition. Jumping in front of a bullet and saving a president's life. I mean, it's a selfless act, and it should be recognized. So we really appreciate you guys, and keep digging.
The investigation on that whole thing starts now, and that's the FBI. So
yeah.
That's right.
We didn't jump in front of bullets unless we, you know, so
it's probably the Pennsylvania FBI unit is going to be the ones.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So today,
in fact, I think that shooting happened close to Pittsburgh, so that will be a Pittsburgh case.
See?
Yeah.
Stuff all right. I'm learning. Behind Travis, if you're watching us on our YouTube page, is dun-dun-dun, the map. We've talked about this from episode one. One of the things that we talk about, the two mysteries, was Johnny Jackrabbit killed at the Biograph, and where's his money? And a couple years ago, you guys got a huge, huge break. Paul Lima talked about it on the episode prior, but today we're going to go in depth, and we're actually going to have the map on screen. So if you're watching on YouTube, special treat, you're going to be able to watch it and actually see it. So please take a look and go over there. Guys, I'm going to pull it up. Stuart, take the wheel. Travis, take the wheel. I'm not an expert at this part. You guys really have to kind of guide us on what we're looking at and what we're going to talk about.
Okay. All right. So what you see there behind Travis is that was like really the first picture I think we took of it. It was before I don't think I'd taken it out of the mason jar at that point. And really, I wasn't still quite sure what it was. Because that, the last thing I expected to find was an old roadmap, encased in a mason jar. So
yeah,
it just there was a cognitive dissonance, with that. So just trying to what the heck is this thing? So anyway, I pulled it out. The excitement of actually finding something like that was off the charts.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I remember the camera guys even were, just couldn't believe what they were seeing. But, my first thought was, hey, this is a piece of evidence. There may be fingerprints on this thing. There may be DNA. So we need to treat it as such. So, got the gloves on and, carefully pulled it out and then opened it up. And then when I opened it up, you could see this strange route that was on it that, yes. There were lines all over it that one would think is a route, but when you really look at it, it doesn't make sense as a route. The other thing that was obvious were that by some cities that are marked along the map or this, the so-called route, there were some dates and, the map was also dated, officially 1934. So it was the 1934 Shell Road Company or Shell Oil Company roadmap from 1934 of the United States. So, yeah. The thing is, that we've done some things to authenticate it. We did do some DNA testing on it. We did some research on the mason jar itself. It's all time appropriate. And, it's the real deal. But that said, it is still a real mystery. We don't really know what it is. It was buried for a reason. Someone, didn't want that found and we believe. Travis and I think we know when this happened. It was in April of 1934 when Dillinger snuck in right under the nose of the FBI and had a family reunion for a whole weekend. I think it was that was the weekend that it was buried. So they knew that the farm was under surveillance. That could explain why it's buried because, they probably thought at any second the Bureau could come in here and, maybe do a search warrant or something. So, but what it really means is a mystery.
It's a treasure map.
Yeah.
We've considered that. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, to me, it's a treasure map in itself. I mean, something from that old, an old mason jar in the, right there as history. Who knows, was John the last person to put it in? Tightened it and stuck it in the ground because it was laying on its side, right?
Yes, yes, exactly.
The jar was laying on its side.
Yeah, yes. It had roots actually. So for our listeners, we try and kind of set the scene here. It had roots because when he hit it, he had to break the roots when he hit the jar, and they had grown over top of the jar, and the jar's laying on its side, and it was watertight because when we pulled it out, there was nothing in it. Paper is in great, great shape.
Yep. It would be a damn good endorsement for the ball jar company.
Yes, it would.
Good old Indiana ball jars.
Exactly.
From Muncie, Indiana. What you guys remember, we did go over, just as a reminder for our team, we went over kind of the story with Paul Lima of the digging and the pulling it of it out, but we didn't really go into how did you guys verify it? What is it, DNA that you used and that you pulled from the ink? Is that right?
So the lines that you see drawn on it, let me backtrack real quick.
Okay. Yeah, please.
So in going through the FBI Dillinger file, this same weekend that Dillinger had the family reunion, he and his brother, again, so, you know, this is another thing that just, you know, the FBI really dropped the ball on this one that was surveilling the farm. So Dillinger comes in, then he and his brother, Hubert, then drive to Noblesville, or I'm sorry, they drive to a farm in Ohio to give some money to another gang member's mother so that this gang member could pay for a lawyer. That was about a 4 or 5 hour drive from Mooresville. On the trip back from Ohio, Hubert Dillinger was driving. He fell asleep. The car ran off the road. They abandoned the car. Hubert hitchhiked into Mooresville, got another car, came back and got John. John hid like in a hayfield. But when the Indiana State Police recovered the car, they inventoried everything that was in there. And one of the things they found was a Shell Indiana roadmap. And in the Bureau report, they document that there were some strange lettering on it that they couldn't quite figure out. They thought was possibly a code of some kind. And they sent it to the Army Signal Corps, which I guess at the time would have kind of been the equivalent of the NSA today. The Army Signal Corps came back and said, it may be a code, but if it is, we can't break it. We don't know. We can't make sense of it. And they even offered that it very possibly could have just been someone doing some math. But nonetheless, they were baffled by it. And there's no mention necessarily of any route drawn on it like this is. But one of the things that they mentioned in that report was that it had been the numbers that were written on that Indiana map had been written in what they called indelible ink. Indelible pencil. And I didn't really know what that was. So I looked it up. And in the days before fountain pen, or days before ballpoint pens, the only type of pen was a fountain pen. And those were fairly expensive and, you know, not common. Instead, they had something called indelible pencils, which if you've ever seen like in an old movie or something, you see somebody writing and they'll lick the tip of the pencil. Well, that activates this almost like ink-like substance that they wrote with. So it was a common pen of the day, and so it makes sense then that if they had to activate the ink on this indelible pencil, there should be DNA in there, to test. And there was actually, but it was a very, very weak profile. I think the DNA that we ended up finding, we didn't get a full profile anywhere off the map, but I think what we did get was maybe on the edges of it where someone would have held it. So that was the DNA testing that was done. It's never actually been tested for fingerprints. That was something that we thought could be done for television, you know, yeah. And it would be a big reveal. That's actually a piece of investigation that is still to be done, is to do a fingerprint analysis.
Just because you haven't done it though, do would it work? Because now it's changed hands and the owner.
Probably not, to be quite frank, because you can get fingerprints off of paper, but over time, because fingerprints are just, they come from the oil on your fingers, and that oil will kind of
evaporate.
Well, possibly evaporate. It would evaporate as well as just kind of sink into the paper. But that said, there is over on the far left edge of it, there is a, and I don't think you'll be able to see it on here.
But yeah,
in person, there is actually a fingerprint smudge on it. So,
and there's also another little dot. It's got that little cross drawn on it.
Yeah, Travis found another little marking on it. It's out west somewhere, right, Travis? In Arizona or New Mexico? Yeah.
Yeah, Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah. But again, we don't know what any of these markings mean.
No, and here we go. We find this map. We figured, Hollywood, we're going to be able to do this investigation on TV and go forth and what with everyone saying they didn't believe it was real.
Yeah, and they thought it was faked. And then they offered up a secondary plan, and that was to chase the imposter theory, which I thought originally was a joke. Let's solve that really quickly by exhuming the body.
Yeah.
Get back to solving this map.
So this is, would you say this, which mystery intrigues you more to the today? You can each answer separately.
I would say the map. We know where the possible body may be at Crown Hill, right? That's not going anywhere.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This right here, I mean, this is history really breaking that no one knew existed until Stewart put a shovel through the side of it, right? until then, this was lost to history.
Yes.
Unbelievable. So
nothing's been done since then.
No, nothing's been done with it at all. I mean, when we were filming Expedition Unknown, while we were filming, I found another location up by the Great Lakes, and it's got a little teeny mark and a little bit of writing next to it. So there's other possible areas on this map that doesn't have these lines drawn to it. So I believe that's why the map is way more intriguing at the moment, because it's new, that no one had ever seen or even thought about other than the map that was found in the car in Noblesville.
So you're saying this is an exclusive mystery for this podcast?
Yes.
Yeah. No, yes. I agree with Travis. This to me is a really compelling mystery, because if, like Todd said, you know, is it a treasure map? Is it, you know, is it a map to the loot somewhere? Is it a plan of bank robberies? Is it a, you know, is it a vacation plan? We don't know. And it to me, it is, I really just want to solve what this thing is, because it's new history. This is history that no one ever knew about before. And it's just, to me, that is the really cool element of it.
Yeah, and for our listeners and viewers who are actually watching this and being able to see the map, some of those lines you're seeing on the map actually don't follow a road or anything.
Exactly. Right. Right. Exactly.
Like the border of Texas, maybe?
So some of those are timeline markings on the map of different time zones. But these other weird drawn, like, you know, down by Little Rock, Arkansas, it looks like an arrow is drawn there.
Right. And those lines don't follow roads.
No. And some of these points, so like, I'm just going to give just a made up, it'll be like May 25th, right? Yeah. But the dates go past his supposed death date.
Yes.
And they go all the way up into Canada.
And another reason we think that this map was buried that April weekend when Dillinger was at the family reunion, that was April 6th through the 8th when he was there. The earliest date we see on the map is April 19th. And I think that's in Little Rock or maybe Shreveport.
Yeah, Joe. If you want to zoom in so our viewers can see, just
you can go in a little closer. There you go.
Yeah, you can see some of those lines.
That's going to be Shreveport right there, and I think that April 19th date is in there.
So you can tell April 30th here, right?
Yes, by Little Rock. Little Rock, right?
And you see October too. Isn't that OCT right there?
In fact, I think it actually ends in Little Rock. If you follow this thing out, you know, the dates go sequentially,
yep,
and it winds its way back to Little Rock.
April 30. You can see April 31st or April 32nd. Doesn't it look like a 2 a little bit? 3-2. May, right? It goes up and we keep going north. May 12th.
And there's not the pattern of it seems to be about a week apart. They're not perfectly 7 days apart.
Yeah.
So I thought, is there something to the pattern? Do these dates somehow represent, like some kind of an alphanumeric code? I'm not a code breaker. I do like to try to solve puzzles. So I, I took this on as just for fun, really. But I, if it is a code, I couldn't figure it out.
Do you see these yellow circles up by like Detroit and up in Canada and then obviously along the border of Mexico? Is that like a highlighter? Like it looks to me like a highlighter.
That's done on the map. The map from Shell, that's purposely that's what, on there.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. They really they wanted Detroit highlighted for some reason.
We believe that there's a possibility that there's a key out there. Either the Indiana map that the FBI took was part of this, or the address book that we have of John, why he was on the run. Are those two go together? I mean, I really don't know. I mean, this is going to take some time investigating this. And if any of the viewers have an idea, feel free to shoot the comments to us, email us. I'm really interested. I know the rest of the team here is very interested in where this could go. Anyone have any ideas that we haven't thought of? Definitely feel free to bring that to our attention.
Absolutely, yes. Because a fresh set of eyes on something is always welcome. And, you know, you just never know when someone, you know, has some experience in this or just has a thought that we haven't had, man, we are open to that.
Please help us solve this mystery, Matt.
Exactly.
It's possible that a listener's out there and that they had a family member that might have done something on the same date and we can match it up.
What about, Todd, in your opinion, looking at this map, what stands out to you? I'm interested to see because is this one of the first times you've seen this map? I know we've seen it a couple times, but
yeah, this is the first time this much in detail that I've seen it. And I just, again, to me, what stands out is that arrow pointing right there to Little Rock.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that meant, as if everybody meets up there or what it is. It's just kind of strange.
Yeah. Let's do it. Let's boom right there. Look at it. It's like boop, boop, down, over to, and then like this.
You know, I can imagine the gang looking at a table while somebody is given instructions and they're writing on the map. And if would he says, hey, let's meet here at Little Rock.
Could you zoom back in on that? Just for
a minute.
I'm seeing something that I didn't see before.
What?
Okay, so basically there's two arrows. There's there's like the little arrow pointing to Little Rock, and then like a tiny arrow, then goes to like a bigger, wider arrow into it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where the line
Right.
It's like you're really highlighting that area with these arrows, like Todd's saying. And I had not seen that before. I'd only seen like the one little arrow. I wasn't paying attention enough, I guess, to see that there's like two little arrows there.
It's like somebody is drawing on this map while they're talking to somebody. And they're explaining.
Yeah, but I would agree in some capacity because, like, also we need the full. This is just a section of the map. Like, it's not the actual like full map because we're missing the West Coast, right? And East Coast. But you could see like it definitely looks like someone's just like taking a pen and just like drawing. When it comes to the indelible pencil or indelible pen.
Right.
How long does that last? Like, how long is your stroke?
I can't tell you. I don't know. I've never used one, never seen one.
How do we get one? Let's do one.
I don't know if they make them anymore. In fact, I think when I was reading about them, one of the things that came up was that they had to get rid of it is I think it was like cancer causing, or it was basically toxic.
One thing I'd really like to read when we investigate this more is any of these routes that's on this map coincide with any train tracks that they are planning on doing the train robbery.
Yeah.
What's a train robbery?
So John and Carpus were planning on doing a Federal Reserve train robbery that would pretty much everyone will just go their separate ways afterwards and be done. It's kind of like a gig you do and retire on. And they were planning this, right before April, So I don't know. And like I said, we don't really have investigated this enough to see if there's train tracks on here. The you know, did the Federal Reserve travel on any of these routes?
This is really crazy that you found this in the dirt.
You know, something interesting too, when I was flying back right after we found this and I was flying home, I was looking at it on my phone. I was looking at that picture on my phone, and a flight attendant was, I was on an aisle seat, and the flight attendant was coming down the aisle and just stopped for a second and goes, "Oh, are you studying air routes?" You know, and again, they weren't even that close. They just kind of, I guess, glanced down, and I said, I just kind of blew it off, because at that time I was thinking, you know, this is a closely held secret. You know, I don't want anyone to really know what, you know, what we found. But you know, like, you know, we're talking earlier, before we were, recording that, you know, John's brother Hubert was a pilot, and you know, are these, you know, is this an air route? You know, are these airplane routes?
Yes.
So that was another consideration. Then something else that, you know, really has to be thought of, although the DNA on it is male, we know that, was that, you know, at the time, Travis, how old was Frances?
She would have been about 11.
So Frances is 11 years old. This might have been just something whimsical that maybe she and John were doing, you know, and like, just maybe they were planning a trip and, hey, we'll go here, we'll go there, you know, and there was, you know, maybe a child did this, and like, okay, now this is going to be our little trip. This will be our vacation. Let's make a wish, put it in this mason jar, and we'll bury it. And, you know, and then we'll, you know, maybe it's like a good luck thing. I you know, because, yeah, you know, I don't, that it could is be possible.
It, yeah. Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, at this yeah. point, any theory is a good theory, because no theory yeah. any make theory any problem. Sense.
Well, right. Just like, well, Stuart, you brought up, and we were actually, after we found the map, me and you were talking about the mason jar and talking about what Billy Frechette had said, that John, while they were there, buried money and wrapped in oil rags.
That's right. That's right. You know,
and she did come back to the farm after she had got out of jail, after he had died, and hung out with yep. my grandmother
right.
and Hubert. And Hubert and her went to the movies with my grandmother and stuff, which yep. you know, I have a feeling she came back. I mean, it's kind of odd to come back to a family that she only met once.
Yep.
To maybe look around to see if you can't find this map.
So she told a newspaper, she gave a newspaper interview a few years later, and she said that they left the farm that day. And again, they did kind of a ruse to get past the FBI out of there. But she said when she and John left there that day, they were heading to Chicago. John, she was married. She was going to get a divorce. John was going to get plastic surgery. She said they had plenty of money and they were going to start over. So that was the plan. So, you know, is the map part of that plan? You know, and we think too, where this map was buried would have been inside a you know, an outbuilding on the farm. So it would have, at that time, it would have maybe in like in the corner of the building, it would have been easy to go back to. You know, so it, does this actually, is this a key to, you know, something else that's buried out there? And, you know, I've considered too, that this could be, you know, this strange funky drawing could be a, you know, some kind of a map of the farm or an outline of the farm somewhere. But, you know, that's just another theory.
Well, Stuart, we did find other mason jars when we were doing Expedition Unknown of the same era.
Absolutely, yes.
That yeah. were emptying, and we found one with something in it that water had gotten into it, and it had dissolved it. It was, I don't know, I can't remember what it was, but it was like a paper, yeah. something, yeah, it was inside the jar.
Yes, yeah, yeah, it was, yeah, the water had gotten into it. The only thing I think, Travis, that might not, you know, that might not be anything there, because when we were you know, when we where we were digging for those, that I think that was kind of the trash pile.
Yeah, so, it wasn't too far. I mean, from where we found this map.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was pretty close. As the I mean, just a few yards. But you know, I mean, there were a lot of other things where you know where we found those where this thing was by itself.
Yeah,
and we're talking about the dig that you guys went on and then ended up doing more digging, and the trash pile was a gold mine. Other man's trash is another man's gold. And you guys were like in it. I mean, you literally were pulling artifacts out left and right. And it was really cool to see. I mean, at least some of the clips that I've seen, but nothing compares to this. I'm glad the water didn't get in. Sounds like,
oh man, I know. Yes.
But you know, what could have been with the water if there was something in the other one as well.
It was just amazing that we found it. I mean, we were running out of time to do this to this day. I mean, we had, I don't know what, 20 plus spots that we were going to dig, and we could only dig three to a timeline.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's amazing.
One, I'd love it if you guys, the West Coast, because we can only see till like Salt Lake City is one of the most west cities that we can see on this picture that we have. Was there any was there any marks, like you said, in California?
Not that I can see. You know, again, you know, a lot of things there's a lot of analysis that could be done to this thing that we haven't, that has not been done, because again, we were thinking this could all be part of a television show, and you know, that kind of stuff you could do on TV.
Well, the reason I asked about the markings for California is because one of the theories that we believe is that he went out to California after he wasn't shot and killed, and you know, whatever deal he made or however he got away, he ended up going to California.
Right.
And you know, maybe we, you know, we need to look at this sideways, upside down, you know.
I'm doing it now. Know.
I mean, we've got to do anything we can. Like, like what Stuart, we didn't have a lot of time with this map. It was, we found it, you know, they want everything to be very organic reaction to it, so we couldn't really investigate it.
Right.
And so there's probably more markings. If we had a magnifying glass, we're able to go over it.
Yep.
Wow, you really, guys, you didn't have a lot of time. You didn't do any of that?
Nope. You know, the main focus was to, let's preserve this thing. Let's, you know, let's get it preserved for fingerprints and DNA. And, you know, the thought was, man, you know, the TV people are going to go nuts over this because it's so cool. And, you know, so, but they just blew it off. Didn't care.
It's fake. You liars.
Yeah. I don't know how we fake roots growing over a jar. I really, the ground wasn't disturbed.
Oh yeah, no, there's no question. It's in, and if you see it in person, there's no question. It's in great shape, but you can tell that it's old.
And we know where it is too. Like and there's
it's secure. We're not going to say where, but it is secure.
I mean, why don't we just tell the whole world where it is?
hey, Stuart, you mentioned the 1934 Indiana State map.
Yes,
that the FBI had. Do we know where that map is today?
The best I can tell, it's not documented in the FBI file, but more than likely it was destroyed when the case was closed. That's typically the procedure when a case is closed. Any evidence obtained during the case is either returned, you know, to the owner, or it's destroyed. So most likely would have, it's long gone.
I didn't know that.
When the police found the car that night, did they associate it with Dillinger then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. They knew it was Dillinger.
Okay.
And, you know, I guess they assumed that, you know, maybe he's coming back into Mooresville or something, because Noblesville is just northwest or northeast of Indianapolis, and Mooresville being southwest. You know, I guess maybe they just assumed that maybe, you know, they knew he's in the area, but again, they still didn't find him at the farm.
It's unbelievable. This guy got away.
You know, Yeah, grandma would tell me all kinds of stories about, you know, FBI coming in at middle of the night, shining flashlight in her eyes, and they would pretend to be her and her sister, Doris, would pretend to be asleep so not to wake up.
That's great. Well, listen, if you want to take a look, please go to the YouTube channel. We'll probably be posting about this as the episode comes out. But
yeah.
Hey, Joe, let me add one quick thing here.
Oh, yeah, of course.
When I was doing a lot of work on this back in the day, I found, and I've kind of been looking for it. I can't find it. I'll do it on a TikTok after this when I find it. But there was one of the gang members received a postcard that one of the gang members that was in jail received a postcard believed to be from Dillinger that that quoted a Bible verse. And man, people are going to out there that know the Bible are going to laugh at me. But I can't remember the exact Bible verse, but it's the one where it says, do not worry, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't true, I wouldn't say it. The Bible verse itself made me think that this is a coded message itself that says, hey, you're in jail. Don't worry. We're going to get you out because at my Father's house, I've got a lot of money. So, you know,
John 14, 2.
Okay. John 14, 2. So, yeah, I'm going to find it and find out exactly which prisoner it was sent to. I just don't remember. It was one of the Dillinger gang members, and they speculated that that Dillinger himself had sent it. So, you know, does it mean anything? I don't know. Again, a lot of these things, you know, you have to kind of piece together, and it may link up, it may not. But I remember thinking it's damn interesting.
If there's one step to go forward here, Todd, Stuart, Travis, what would be our first step into to trying to figure this out? Where would we go if this was a live investigation?
We'd go back to the farm or relocate the map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously?
I would like to go back to. I think there's a lot more. I think there's more artifacts there for us to find.
You guys had more hits that you hadn't dug in those holes yet.
Okay. Even with Expedition Unknown, we didn't get to hit all of them. I mean, there's still quite a few there, and I think Stuart kind of feels the same way. There's the Dillinger farm as how it looks today is very small. When it was in its heyday, it is quite large. There's more property to investigate. There's a wooded area that I believe when my grandmother told me that John Sr. and John took a walk during that April. They walked through the orchard, and I think they went further than that to get away from the family to discuss probably father-son advice maybe. But you don't know what else they did when they went out there either. And I'm pretty sure probably him and Hubert did the same thing. So there's a lot more investigation done. I mean, who knows? We may find the key to the map, or we may already have the key to this map.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so one lead that we have to help solve this map is the address book. You guys want to go?
Yes.
We'll eventually go into that. What do you guys think about taking the address book and just like reading it to our listeners, or at least looking at it?
Yeah. I think we should go through them and start linking addresses that are in this book. There's weird numbers.
And where did the book come from again? I'm sorry.
Sioux Falls, North Dakota.
Sioux Falls is marked on the map.
Yep. And Sioux Falls is on the address book. And I believe he probably picked it up when he did the robbery at, what town was that?
Well, no, there was a robbery in Sioux Falls.
Yeah. Sioux Falls. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So I have a feeling he picked it up prior to robbing that bank. And then there's a doctor that shows up, and who knows, that doctor could have been the one that did the plastic surgery. There's a lot, but it could not be the real person. That could be a code, like what Stuart's been talking about, that could coincide with this map.
Right.
What are the chances? Go ahead. Sorry, Travis.
And that address book was giving given to Hubert while he was at the farm that April.
Yep. Yep. So there's the key or a possible key to the map. So we got to start looking into that. We need to go back and dig to see if we can find something else, because at least at this point, this piece of evidence is incomplete. We can't use it to the level we want to. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Cause Stuart, I mean, if John buried the map and then gave, you know, the map, the key to his brother, cause you would want to keep the two separate, right?
Yep.
So and they would be in safekeeping. Your brother would make sure it was safe.
Sure. You know, and if they found, you know, an address book in the 1930s would not have been an uncommon thing because, you know, people didn't have cell phones, so they had to keep people's numbers somewhere. Right. And, you know, so if the FBI came in and just found an address book, yeah, they might seize it. They might, you know, just look through it and say, you know, okay, there's really nothing in here of value. Or they might write the numbers down and let them keep the address book. But either way, it's a benign thing. Whereas this map, I don't know what it is. So, but yeah. Again, like I said, it was buried for a reason.
Yes. What are the chances of us finding, getting or extracting information out of this as it stands right here without more evidence? Do you think?
Well, we said earlier, you know, you could still possibly do more sophisticated DNA testing on it.
You could
do the fingerprints. Now, that doesn't unravel what this thing is,
right?
But you know, if we could definitively link this thing to Dillinger, that gets us pretty far down the road. But we already know that it was male Dillinger DNA. We can't definitively say it was John's. It could be his father or his brother.
That's tough to assume one or all three, put those three in the bucket. I mean, because it could be either exactly. One of them. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
We're getting to the end of our time here, folks. We just, you know, this was a lot of episode about what is this thing? I'm leaving it up so that I left it up the whole time. So you guys could make this decision and see it yourself. I want to see it in person. I would love to have that happen soon. And obviously take wider photos of it so we can have the whole map and not the paint window paint stuff. We'll deal with that later. But as we go along here in this investigation, we want to hear from you. We need your comments. I mean, this is a perfect example. If you think you can break a map code, have at it, folks.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Seriously, we have nothing to hide. Take a look at the picture. Tell us what you think. I mean, we know what we see, but it's like a, you know, Rorschach. Is that Rorschach test where it's like, you know, you see one thing.
Exactly.
You
yeah, test. Yeah.
It's like, it's just exactly that. My brain goes to that because we've seen it and I've looked at it 15 times and this is what I see every time. But like the stewardess on your plane, you know, on the plane, she's like, oh, that looks like.
Yeah. Right. And that had not occurred to me, the flight attendant, that's immediately what they saw.
Well, if you do think you figured it out, please let us in on it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because and the other thing is we kind of talked about what they mean, but what would be buried or what is the purpose? And I guess we don't know. We don't know if it was money or loot or even something, you know,
less valuable. Plan,
We don't know what was being described here, why this person was going where they're going in this map, if that's even what we don't know where they're going, we don't know if it means anything, and we don't know what they're doing there. We're really on a good track here, guys. But it's fun,
but it's absolutely authentic. There's no question about it. You know, it fits at the right timeline when we know Dillinger was there. And there's just something to it. And as we said earlier, this is the of all the kind of questions that are out there about Dillinger, you know, maybe, it, you know, is did he get away? Was it an imposter that was shot? This map to me is more compelling than that.
Great.
Great.
No pun intended, but this was definitely history breaking.
And this is why at the end of all the podcasts, we say, keep digging.
Yeah.
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 We need to keep digging.
Yeah. This is it. We will be listening. If you guys have any questions, comments, obviously like, share, comment. But if you could leave a review on our podcast, that would help us big time. A 5-star review, preferably, followed by a nice write-up of what you like. We love to hear from our fans. And if it's negative, just email us directly. Like I'll
Yeah, exactly. Let us know. Let us know what, you know, what maybe, you know, we could do better, or if there's something that we're not saying or not getting into about this, let us know that as well.
Yep. Yep. And then
we're TikTok. Not perfect.
No, not at all.
No. And if there's mistakes, we'll admit to them. We talked about that before we started recording the podcast as well. It's like we know we make mistakes. If there's something we can correct, we will. So we have been talking to fans. I'd like to respond to a lot of them on our TikTok, but eventually, hopefully next episode, we'll be responding to some direct emails that we've gotten over the last couple of weeks. So guys, thanks for joining us. We love you. We really do. I can't tell you. There's a lot of love. I love you guys too, by the way. Travis, Todd, and Stuart. I love you guys. And little brotherhood that we got going on is pretty cool. So
it really is.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So thank you for listening. And until next time, keep digging. The Digging Up Dillinger podcast is produced by Joe Melillo and Grace Hiles. Theme music produced by Eddie Bandis. Follow us on TikTok, Facebook, and YouTube. Until next time, keep digging.